It's happened. It's happened. Roki Sasaki has officially signed, and he signed with with the Dodgers, as everybody predicted, right? Everybody did. As people fall in, welcome back to a live stream. Not planned live stream. In fact, I just recorded a video with a guest on for Baseball Chaos. But welcome back to Touching Base Podcast. All right. So you guys see the thumbnail, right? So some of you are wondering if I'm going to go on an irate little rant and complain and bitch and moan about Roki signing with the Dodgers, right? Well, not really. I mean, as we all knew, it would probably happen. There's a lot of rumors that like, oh, it's going to be Padres. It's like the underdog. There was that film that was that recording that was taken from, I believe it's an apartment complex. There's a hotel right next to it. So I don't know which angle it was in left field in San Diego over at Petco Park, filming him throwing in left field. It's not confirmed whether or not that was him. Very likely it was him because it was the exact same windup. And there's a bunch of people watching. There's no other reason to have. It wasn't Yu Darvish, so I don't know any other Japanese player that they have a very distinctive windup. That would be somebody else. So it's done. It's said and done. Roki Sasaki is officially a Dodger, which will make it the third international, technically, not even an international signing for Shohei, but international player that came from the MPB that is now playing for the Dodgers, and they rule the market once again, but now in a different country, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's super happy. If you're a Dodgers fan, congrats. I mean, you should be stoked because now you have a team that is even more bolstered than ever before. I'm going to assume that they are going to run a six-man rotation, given his arm. He throws so hard. He's not used to throwing a lot of innings. The ball's different. He's going to have to grip that ball a lot tighter, most likely, because the threads are just not as – the seams are not as predominant like it is in the MPB. The mound distance, I believe, is slightly different. But it's – I mean, we all saw it coming. It just – I'll share this with you guys. So Alden Gonzalez put up a post, Roki is a Dodger. Roki, I believe, posted on his own Instagram showing just a Dodger hat. Basically pulled off what a Blake Snell would be. It's going to be a minor league contract. Of course, he's going to play in the pros. There's no reason not to. The Dodgers have, I don't know, every single major league pitcher that anybody would want to sign for or any team would want in their arsenal. It's a juggernaut. It is what it is. The NL is just kind of like, meh. There's just the Dodgers. Like, why? It's cute to say the Phillies have a chance. No offense if you're from Philly, but unless this entire team gets injured, it's like, oh, what's going on in the AL? It's more of a race there. So Blue Jays missed out again, as always. The Padres missed out. Sucks for them. It would have been a really good script, I think, for the MLB when it comes to having like Yu Darvish and Roki Sasaki in a rotation where Musgrove is going to be out for the entire season. They have Dylan Cease, but it looks like he's getting traded soon. It would actually ease it up a little bit so that they have somebody in that rotation if they needed to trade him when it comes to salary dumps. If you guys watch my video on YouTube or listen to it via Spotify, the last one, which was about the ownership dispute and lawsuit, go check it out if you have not. If you want to get educated on it, it doesn't have everything, obviously. Not everything has been released, but the fact that they're probably trying to get rid of funds at this point that are going out the door for players, Roki would have been great for the Cease move, and they could brought prospects in, and then they still have an elite pitching. And for MLB, been like, oh, okay, these two are like rivals, so going against each other would have been monumental and very cinematic almost, like a storyline script, like, oh, these two teams are really going at it. But no, it just went to the Dodgers, of course. If you guys saw the thumbnail, I'll just circle back to that because you're probably curious why I said that. So first off, and this is going to be kind of a repeat, I'm going to be posting something right after this. Is a long talk with Jeff from Blabbing About Slabbing. I'm a big card fan. He's a big card collector. Really awesome guy. Amazing. Go follow him if you guys can. As soon as it comes out, just check the subscription box or bell, or just come back later, whatever. You don't have to subscribe. I was thinking he was going to go to the Padres. Like, that was the hint. Like, ooh, this is conspiracy. Of course, we also went over the fact that his agent is just full of shit this entire time. Everything he said was completely false on almost every level. First thing, and everybody heard about it, and he said it like, ah, I think we're going to look at a smaller market team. He doesn't want to have that media drama and all that stuff. And I don't want to reiterate everything I said in that recording that's going to come out here soon. But for the most part, all the teams that came out were big market. Every single one. Texas, Mets, Dodgers, Padres. All of them were large media market. Rangers, it's big. Yeah, I mean, Dallas like number 5. There was like a hint of the White Sox. But as Jeff says, if you guys want to watch that, it's still a massive, like, there's a huge following for Chicago sports, whether or not it's the Cubs or it's the White Sox. If you're on the South Side, North Side, you're going to rep your own team most likely. Even if they were terrible, it's still a large market. So they said there was like this one like mystery team that was out there. So it was like, okay, maybe that's like the Cubs or the Mariners, but Cubs is, I mean, another big market team. So so that was complete bullshit in what he said. And then they put out a story saying that he's not going to meet with teams that try to bring players in. He just wants to talk to the organization. He doesn't want to get, you know, coerced in a certain way by the players to kind of like butter him up to come play for them. Cause obviously this is a minor league contract, no matter what, because he's not reached that age 25 or played enough seasons in the MPB to qualify for a major league offer. So he meets with the Dodgers, that it comes out that no, he's going to meet with all the players or whoever, whatever players they want. They will be attending this meeting after they said they're not going to do that with the teams. It's just lie after lie after lie, which means, and for Dodgers fans, it was very obvious. And for a lot of other people, it was very obvious. It's just like, it's eye rolling that he was always going to go to the Dodgers because he flew in to LA and he stayed in LA and he had all of his meetings in LA. It was obvious. I made a video quite a time back, which was like right when Jerry DePoto with the Mariners. I was thinking like everybody's saying he's going to the Dodgers and it makes sense. Like it's most likely going to happen, but there is that chance that he would go to Seattle just because his favorite baseball player growing up is Ichiro, who's part of the organization. And then there is a lot of reason and a lot of, I believe, Japanese culture in Seattle, I would know, and it would be a good fit. There is a possibility and the Mariners can afford it. And they also mentioned that their priority is Roki. They didn't even get a meeting. They didn't even get a meeting. Going back to total bullshit. They're not looking for small market team. They don't care. And if, here's another issue I have with this. I mentioned this in the other video that I'm going to be uploading here soon. This all happened, of course, 35 minutes after we finished recording. I just finished editing it, so it's going to go up soon. LA, the Dodgers, literally is the largest Japanese media market, which is exactly what he was supposedly complaining about, because he wanted to leave Japan and go to the MLB. They were giving him a hard time, supposedly, for wanting to jump ship and get on his way over to MLB and leave Japan and not be part of that market anymore. And that was his big issue that he had. And now he's going to literally the most heavy Japanese media heavy team in baseball. So it's all bullshit. So don't believe what the agents tell you in press conferences. Like, we should really learn a lesson from this, obviously. I mean, most people understand with Scott Boras. Like, he is full of it. All he's doing is throwing information out there that might be true, right? Just to bring up their value. So, and a lot of these players are listening to him, but it's backfiring. Hence Pete Alonso right now. That's a nightmare for him because first base market, I believe next year is going to be even worse. Nobody really needs a first baseman. And the teams that do need a first baseman don't have the funds for their contract he's asking. And it's gotten down to a point where he's offered the Mets a contract and said, hey, this is only for you. It's only for you because I love you, because this is my team. I'm the franchise face here. That's like, nah, I'm good. We're fine. And they're not going to re-sign him. So agents are full of it. And Roki never got to speak to the media. There was no translator. I didn't see any interview that was conducted. That would have been really nice, though, to actually get something from him so people can connect with who he is. Because right now, he has an agent that represents him. And right now, I would say a lot of people on other teams that are not part of the fan base of the Dodgers are going to have a problem with this. There's going to be a lot of mad folks out there that are just like, what the hell? Like, we got strung along for this entire time just for you to go be with every other star in baseball. I mean, you have the exception of Soto. I mean, he left New York to go to, New York again, to Queens, to go play for the Mets for the biggest contract in sports history. It's just one of those things where it's like, this offseason, this is probably the most obvious free agent signing. I guess it's a free agent signing of the year. Juan Soto still had a little bit of like, ooh, where he might go, depending on taxes, depending on how much money would be offered, right? It's a little bit different. He ended up with the Mets, and ultimately it was because Steve Cohen has unlimited deep pockets. Does he own the world? I don't get it. Probably something I should dig into. But yeah, the Dodgers are obvious. They have Blake Snell. I mean, what is their rotation now? And where does he fit in there? Because let's look at his stats. I mean, Baseball Reference. Here we go. This is his career. So obviously there's only 3 years here. He was 19, 20, and 21. So in 2021, 1.89 ERA. Let's see, overall, what was the entire years? Because these are kind of broken up. 1.84 ERA overall. Granted, it was only in 16 games total. The next year, he pitched in 20 games. 2.2 ERA. Still would have won a Cy Young here. Absolutely. 2023, 1.88 ERA in 15 games started. It's not as many games, obviously. This is what I'm trying to say here. Where is he going to fit in the rotation? And then last year, a 2.6. So the fact that a 2.76 is, I mean, with 18 games, it's basically his worst season. That's what Corbin Burns threw, pretty much. Yeah, I think it had 2.72, if I'm correct on that. So, and he's 22 years old. 10 wins, 11 losses. I mean, he's going to be dominant. Granted, different mound, different ball. Things are going to change, right? They're probably going to want him to pitch max 20 games next season, right? Luckily, Shohei's coming back. So you have what? Let's take a look. Maybe there's a possibility that I don't know if FanGraphs has this up or anymore. This is so recent, but let's see. LA. So I can show you guys. There it is. See if it's updated. Going to get faster with this for you guys for the live streams. Okay. They have him in there. Boom. He's in there. They have him as a number 5 out of a 6-man rotation. Dustin May down. I'm just trusting FanGraphs because they're pretty accurate for the most part. Granted, I don't see a Shohei Ohtani in here. So what are we talking here? Like, you know, like this is a big question. Look at this rotation. I know we haven't seen Dustin May in a year, but dig back to when he was pitching, like 2023. A 2.63 ERA. He put up a 1.2 WAR, and they're putting him as a 6th man in their rotation. I know it's only 9 games, but dude, you're nasty. Your worst year was in 2022, but you have both under three ERAs for 2 years straight right before that. That's your number six in your rotation. That is most people's aces. We'll see how he does going back. But you have Tony Gonsolin as your number four. I mean, Shohei fits in here somewhere, obviously. But then you also have Michael Grove, who can be a starter. And go down to your, I mean, you're going to have to miss out on River Ryan because he is hurt. And Sheehan and Stone. Stone was surgery? Yeah. Okay. But you still have, I just don't want to get confused here. You still have Bobby Miller, Landon Knack, Nick Frasso, who's a top prospect for you, Robleski, and then Kasperius. Ben Kasperius was actually, I believe, interviewed recently. And seems like a great guy, and he's super excited to be where he's at. But, dude, you have no place in the Dodgers rotation right now. You are on way too good of a team. So they might trade him, considering that in the short amount of time that he played, a 2.16 ERA, he did good. He did good. A very small sample size. But it's so ridiculous. They have so much, they have so many players that I'm going to assume at this point, I'm going to guess that they're going to keep their guys. They're going to keep Dustin May. They're going to keep Gavin Stone, Michael Grove. They're going to keep Tony Gonsolin. Why not? Right? Like, why not? Because one of these guys might go down. There's one thing in common with every single player here. Tyler Glasnow might as well be called Tyler Glasshouse. He is going to get injured. It happens every year. So, is he amazing when he's on? Absolutely. But he's going to get hurt. Yamamoto, he had an injury risk last year. Scare. Might come back. Who knows? Blake Snell, I don't know what's going on with his hip, but as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to be doing great. He signed where he wanted to be, and he got the contract he wanted. I don't know if he's the number one, to be honest with you right here. But one of these guys goes down, you can still have a six-man rotation with Shohei in here, with Gonsolin in here, with May, or you can bring up Michael Grove. Or you can call up anybody from AAA if you really wanted to. You still have an elite rotation. So they can trade for, if they wanted to go get more international pool money and grab another pitcher. They can grab another infielder. They can trade away Páez. They can trade away Miller, Knack. I would probably keep Frasso. They could trade any of these guys 100%. There's nothing holding them back. They can get rid of Outman. They can trade so many players that would be very on par, league average bats, players that teams don't have right now that they could really use. And there could be a lot of these teams that are just like, we would like to at least have a decent season and pick up something. And we've been in a rut. We're not going to get anybody internationally signed. So here's our international money. And give us some guys that we can play now. There's going to be a lot of that. It's a juggernaut financially. It's a juggernaut performance-wise. You have three closers that you can choose from, and they're all good. Evan Phillips, training was incredible during the playoffs. And then Kopech, obviously. Honestly, I would rather have Blake in there, but that's just me. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Sorry, I haven't got to any of your guys' comments. I haven't read anything. Yeah, Nate. Well, I haven't seen you in a while, bud. If you want your agent to preach all that stuff to maximize everything. But as far as like analyzing, as far as fans following this stuff, just don't put too much. Don't put too much. Jeez, what is the word I'm looking for? Investment, too much coin, too much of your, whatever that saying is, into what these agents are saying. because it's going to be, it's all a money grab. You know, it's to throw people off. At this point, it's like, okay, you just roll your eyes, roll with it. Wherever they're going to sign, they're going to sign, and just cross your fingers and hope. Look more at probably, I mean, and you should, I guess we should have from the very beginning, but nobody talks about it, is where do they live? Where are they from? Where do they like to play? Where do they perform the best? Versus whatever the agent is saying. Look at Corbin Burnes. He lives in Scottsdale. He signed in Arizona. Arizona was willing to fork out the money when he came to them saying, hey, I just had twins. I would love to just play in my home and spring training's at home. It just works for me. So lesson learned. Yeah, stock. I don't trade. So there you go. Explains. I can't think of the words. Jack, good to see you, bud. You're always here. Jack's the best. I wish you would make some content, though, because you got some good observations, man. I wish you would. Yeah, shoulder from... Yeah. And Leroy... Question is, can the Dodgers extend him before he indentures years? Before his indentured years are up? Probably, yeah. They can extend them. The Mets and Dodgers are just they're money pits of whatever. And then all you with on top of that, you have a bunch of deferred money players who can just convince him to defer money. Very easy, right? Yeah. I'm bitter, obviously, just because it would be nice to see some spread of like talent going to different places. Like if you went to Chicago, be like, all right, the Cubs are now dangerous if they get him. You have Shota Imanaga, you have Roki Sasaki. I don't know if Jordan Wicks is dangerous. If he can stay healthy, maybe. But they brought in Kyle Tucker. They made some moves. They could still possibly get Bregman. I don't know if they will, but they have Matt Shaw coming. They have a lot of really good players. But that would have been an awesome piece for their bullpen, or sorry, for the rotation. Granted, this is the first domino before the rest of the league is honestly going to start pushing for moves. Because it was wherever he lands is now going to open the door for everybody else because they're not in the pursuit of Roki and certain teams, whoever got him, which obviously, like I just mentioned, the Dodgers, they're going to probably, like I said, move some players. So if, but if the Rockies, who need a lot of players because their team's, their org sucks, they could be like, hey, take our international pool money. Give us Andy Pages, give us some good bats that we truly need. And the park factor alone in Coors will set them up for success. But now it's like free agent wise, where does Bregman go? Because players are not going to be, I don't know, because, well, Dodgers, of course, have no interest because they have Muncy. The Yankees could be interested in Bregman, but I don't know if that'll work because there's that still that speculation of them hating them from the scandal years. I don't know if that matters anymore, though. Like, I guess it should, but I don't know if it really does. Granted, a lot of people still hold a grievance and hatred and grudge against Trevor Bauer. And they want to sign him. So, and they could get him for nothing. Granted, who was it? Christian Moore, the prospect for the Angels, hit a bomb off of him virtually. So it's like, is he really that good? I don't know. Is he arrogant? Yeah, he's very arrogant. But if he could develop himself to be what he was in Cleveland, that would be a good player to pick up. But of course, people are like, oh no, sexual assault accusations mean that he must be a bad person, even though it was proved wrong. People get really mad about that, but you know what? Whatever. So who do people want to pick up? who do teams want to pick up? What teams can afford the players that are on the Dodgers or on the Red Sox? If the Red Sox want to sign Bregman, every team's got to move money to bring these guys in. Now that Roki's not available, there should be some movement there. Yeah, Jack, exactly. Yeah, Morosi, they call him the Blabber or something like that. Which he does. He talks a lot, but he does have a lot of connections. But yeah, they give their, like, this is what I think is going to happen. And it's all smiley and very monotone reports that are, it's like Rosenthal. Like, he's the worst. It sounds so robotic when he talks. I can't stand him. And then, of course, like, he showed his true colors when he just bashed the Padres during the playoffs and, like, praised the Dodgers. Like, dude, like, you can't be so, I mean, you can, but if you want people to, like, take you seriously, you can't be so directly against a team and in favor of another team. But I don't know. Just the way he talks, I just can't stand it. The Mariners are out. Hey, Nate, if you want to play third, man, go for it. Give Jerry a call. Like, hey, I will play third start for 3 years at $300,000. And I'll write an NDA, an agreement saying we're going to bypass the rules of the MLB. And I'll go and play for you. And guess what? I'm going to have the same batting average as Mitch Garver. But hey, at least you have a third baseman. Probably. You're probably going to be so full of yourself that you're going to be able to hit better than that. Yeah. This is not a surprise, obviously, but it's just so, I don't know. It just seems like, okay, whatever. Like, I haven't, In my whole time of being like a fan of baseball, I guess the 98 Yankees, the last time that we had like just a team that was like, all right, well, why try? You know, the NL is like the Mets have a chance, but they're being stupid right now, not bringing back Pete. Unless they think that they can get Vladdy in a trade, because the Blue Jays have been in rumors of like, signing Pete Alonso, who have the money to do it. And honestly, they're the only ones. Like, if Vladdy doesn't want to come to an agreement with them, the franchise face, when it comes to money, they sign Pete Alonso and say, hey, Vladdy, you said you would go play third, so go play third, because we can't make an agreement. We get our first baseman that we want for much less than what you're demanding. And then halfway through the season, or even right away, Boston's like, hey, we got what you want in our farm system, plus Yoshida and Tristan Cassis, if you guys want to play that route. And you guys take these contracts, take these players, we'll take Vladdy, and they will say, hey, we don't have Yoshida's contract anymore. How much do you want? And guess what? Our taxes are significantly less than Canada's. And Vladdy might be like, sign me up. This is my number. And they'll most likely take it. Of course, the factor would be, how much does Alonso get signed for? Don't be cheap. Take $300,000. I'll take $250,000. Come on, Nate. What's up, dude? What's wrong with you? Munetaka Murakami. I've heard that name before. So 33 home runs in 143 games, 851 slug, 851 OPS. It's interesting. You never see those matched up. Wait, what? 851 slug? That doesn't. Wait, Jack, I think you have a typo. Oh, it's okay. Sorry. 472 slug. Oh, you meant an OPS plus of 82? Is that what it is? It must be park factor. Sorry, it's not divided up right. No. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Because if OPS, if his slugging is 851, then his OPS has to be more. His OPS would be his on base plus it. So he was at 12. His OPS would be like 1323. Am I doing the math right on that? Sounds like a tank. Murakami at third and right. And was that Muncy? Do you mean Muncy or no? I mean, I'm trying to read your comments. I think you're typing too fast. Oh, batting average is 379. On base is 472. Slugging percentage, 851. How is his OPS? That doesn't make sense. His OPS does not add up there. It can't be the same as his slugging. Yeah, Muncy. Munch is spell tech. Yeah, you're fine. So Murakami is third in right field and Muncy is third base. Oh, okay. You meant to put three because shit. Okay. This is getting to a weird comment reading. I'm trying to dissect this. If you guys want to engage, just comment below. The stats say, was it like Baseball Reference where it says that? Because that doesn't add up. So his OPS should be like a 1220 or 1323, which is insane. That's basically what Ohtani, it's more than what Ohtani put up last season, and he went 50-50. So that would be awesome. I'm assuming he's still in the MPB. In fact, I got some 2024 Topps Chrome MPB. I'm going to rip some of that here soon. See what we get inside, because that will be the final MPB card for Roky Sasaki. So it's fun. Some cool stuff. Yeah, so I don't know how much battery I got on my camera. I should have it plugged in, but I don't. The signing for Roky is not a surprise, but granted, it is a bit disappointing. It's disappointing for every other team in the MLB, obviously, not just because he signed there, but because of the hype was all BS. That's what I'm saying. It was all a lie. It was all a way to get people excited and get people interested. But it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to hype it up or draw attention or try to push people to, like, think it was going to be somebody, some other team, some other organization, because everybody's going to pay the same, roughly the same. Now, if you saw multiple teams, or you say one team, let's say the Cubs, sure, they traded away four prospects to four different teams and all of them were international pool money in return, then I would be like, hey, he is getting a payday now coming from this, you know, that would be a sign. But nothing happened. Nobody was trading for that at all. And I don't know, the Mariners, again, like I said, I'm going to be making a video about them and the Donovan Solano pickup. I have a theory and I think I know what they're doing. If they go this route, I actually wouldn't be too mad, but I don't know how they're going to go about it because I'm looking at the free agents roster and there's a million options when it comes to trades, but what are they willing to give up? And then what are they willing to receive that actually correlates and translates to T-Mobile Park? So look out for that video. I got to record it here in a little bit. I have another full-on podcast of Baseball Chaos with Jeff from Blabbing About Slabbing. That's going to go up as soon as I get off of here. The Dodgers are stronger than they were. This is not like the Blake Snell signing where it's like you're just putting in concrete the same amount of talent you already have because of injuries. This is now an addition to it. So even if Shohei goes down, even if Blake Snell goes down, you still have a five-man rotation of elite arms, or Yamamoto with the shoulder injury. And I don't know when those guys are going to be back. I actually want to check that real quick. The guys that are injured, you have Kyle Hurt. You have, funny, River Ryan, who did a great start to his season when he did get in the mound. He only got a couple a couple of, I think only had three starts. Emmett Sheehan, good prospect pitcher who can definitely, he can, I wouldn't say prospect pitcher. He's been in for a year, but a full season, but 25 years old, still young. All three of these guys had Tommy John. Let's see, August. So Sheehan could be back by June, if not the All-Star break. Stone had shoulder surgery. I don't know the extent of the shoulder surgery. That was in September. So given that was in September, he's 26. He probably recovered pretty quick, but Gavin Stone could be someone you can see in also the All-Star break. So you have half a season-ish of these guys pitching, which realistically, if I look at this rotation, I'm going to guess it's going to be Ohtani, Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Roki, and then Dustin May. Are you going to go seven? Ah, F it. Go seven. Tony Gonsolin. You see what I'm talking about? It's insane. So good for them. Maybe expect to see, I don't know, Andy Pies get moved because they have so many outfielders and outfield options. Edmund, Betts, if they want to move him back out there. Rojas can easily take an infield. I'm surprised they haven't brought back Kike Hernandez. Maybe it's because of his media things that he said. Knowing that they were live just to cuss on there, maybe they just like, all right, we don't want to deal with this anymore. Granted, all he needed was glasses to play better. That could be a good pickup for a lot of other teams. He is older, but they got high sun come. So they got a lot of ability to move players around. But expect a trade here soon from the Dodgers. They're probably going to move somebody, and they're going to move them quick. And they're going to get something in return that's going to benefit them to sign somebody else or to trade for someone big. I don't know who that would be because I don't know where their holes are in their lineup. They wanted to get another first baseman. That would be just a good backup. Maybe just because Freddie's ankle. I don't know. Before we get off, let's see. Any updates? Okay, so Roki Sasaki is set to receive a bonus of around $6.5 million from the Dodgers, according to Alden Gonzalez. It will be the highest bonus report in international class since 2017. I'm going to guess was Ohtani. Let's see. Anything else? Nope. Nothing new. 6.5 mil. Good for him. We'll see where the dominoes fall. And Koyo Ayagi just got signed with the Phillies to a minor league deal. I don't know much about this guy. So Phillies picked up a guy. Let's see. What's his stats? He is 30 years old. He's going to be in his year 31 season. Career ERA is 3.0. Very good. And he actually averages about 25 games every season. He's been playing since 2016. Doesn't give up a lot of home runs. His most he gave up was in 2019, and that was 14 home runs he gave up. That's it. Every other season has been single digits, except for 2021, he gave up 11. So, Koyo Aoyagi, I think I'm saying that right. Good for him. He is going to the Phillies. So looks like he is like a submarine pitcher or something like that. So yeah. Yeah, Byron. I mean, you're not wrong. Byron's like, oh, you know, a little bit of a sass in your tone with your text. But was the agent under oath or agents required by law to tell the truth? No, obviously not. You don't have to be a smartass. All I'm saying is that it's it is frustrating, and I think you can agree with me, it is frustrating when they just throw a bunch of bullshit out there, you know? Like, you're just like, oh, okay, well, he's full of it. And I think reputation matters. So when you hear Mr. Wolf go in front of the media and start talking about one of his clients in the future, it's like, eh, whatever he's saying is bullshit. Like, we don't care what he has to say. We'll see what the cards fall and what this player says and who they talk to and when the meetings are and the insiders that are actually seeing these guys show up. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's not like, oh, he's not allowed to. I never said that. I'm saying it's just annoying. And it's not good look for him because nobody's going to believe what he says. It's the boy who cried wolf. If you don't know that story, go read it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'll double back because you mentioned like it's best for the client's position for success. That's the point of it. I understand that. And what I'm saying is it didn't matter here. It was worthless, pointless. It was stupid for him to build all this hype or to throw directions this way and just blatantly lie to the media because the money didn't matter. It wasn't the highest bidder. It was just whoever he wanted to go play for. So it's like, oh, he really likes the Dodgers. He really likes Yu Darvish. He knows Shota Imanaga, maybe. I don't know if that's true. You can just put those things out there. It's like his favorite player was Ichiro. It's like, okay, now we have four teams that we can look at. It's like, these are a possibility. And then he goes and signs with the Rockies. Who knows? But like, he doesn't want to go to a big market team. Like, shut up, dude. It's bullshit. So that's all I'm saying. Like, in this situation, the things he said was stupid and a waste of time. And it was misleading. And it was for really nothing. His agent led people along for no reason. It didn't matter. It wasn't going to change the trajectory of what he was going to make in a signing deal. If you think the signing bonus is like the thing he wanted to maximize, 6.5 mil. Good for you. Two enthusiastic thumbs up. Because I don't see a team that couldn't have offered that. Really. Honestly, if he talked to the Mariners, who openly said that he was a priority, they would have, and they did even get extra money, and they would have made more trades to get more international pool money if they needed to. If it was really coming down to the money, then they would have given the Mariners an opportunity to at least meet with him. But they didn't, because it didn't matter, because he already knew where he was going to. That's my point. All this hype and all this lying was pointless, you know? So, Byron, I understand where you're coming from, but you also need to look at the full scope of things of this specific situation, and that's what I mean. So I come at you the way you come at me. I'm just kind of being upfront and honest with you that it didn't make sense here. If he was coming for a major league contract to get a $350 million contract or a $400, I understand. I get it. You want to be like, he's looking for a smaller market team. You know, we don't want to meet with the players. We want to be pressured. We just want to, you know, like, okay, yeah. Well, whatever makes you feel good. Like, hey, here's 400 million. Like, we really want you. Here's more money. Oh, they'll take four. Then we'll play the Boris game. But there was no reason for it. There's no reason for it. I don't think anybody could even hit 10 mil in international pool money. I don't think so. So, with that said, cheers, you guys. Yeah, Seattle is horrible as far as organization-wise. So, there's also some other stuff that I mentioned with this. I'm going to go ahead and end the stream. It's good to see you guys. If you haven't already... If you can, like the video just because it helps me, and then subscribe if you guys want to see about that podcast that I did with Jeff. I hit on a little bit of extra things on this whole Roki Sasaki side of things. And then I'm also coming out with a video about the Mariners signing Solano and what I think it means. Doesn't mean I'm right, but it would make sense in the route they're going. subscribe, like, just because it helps. I appreciate it. Even if you are mad at me, but you want to continue this conversation, we can talk more and we can get into the comments and talk ball. I'm perfectly okay with that. I appreciate you guys being here and watching this. I will probably, I don't know, see you guys in the next big live drop of big news, because the dominoes should start falling now. So I'll catch you all later.